Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we talk with martial arts practitioners about their histories and the influence that their practice of martial arts has on their lives. You are listening to the free version of this podcast, which is abbreviated. Help support this program by considering to subscribe to us on Patreon, where you will get 4 full-length podcasts each month, 1 week before the YouTube release date. The cost is that of about 1 coffee shop coffee per month. Go to www.patreon.com/malmag to subscribe. That is www.patreon.com/malmag. If you would like to purchase single full-length episodes of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, visit our Gumroad page at malmag.gumroad.com, and that is malmag.gumroad.com. This week, I sit down in Marina Del Rey with Miguel Da Costa, who is a corporate security specialist and a dog brother. Some interesting stories coming up. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast. Today I'm sitting outside in the sun, nice spring day after kind of a crappy winter here in California, which I'm not going to complain too much, knowing other people have pretty bad winters, but we're outside the Inosanto Academy preparing for the CELAC camp coming up in a few days. However, I got the opportunity to sit and talk with a gentleman who's been a student here at the Academy and sort of a faithful attendee of my classes, which I enjoy because he's another tall guy like me and has a very interesting background, as I got to talk to him and find out more about him and thought for sure we got to put him on the podcast. This gentleman's name is Miguel Da Costa, or Da Costa.
Da Costa, Da Cost, you know, that'll work.
Well, it's your name. You tell me how to say it.
Back when I was teaching, I used to always, I'd tell my kids the way to remember it is the cost of living is going up.
Oh, nice.
So a good little thing there. But yeah, Da Costa.
Well, that it rhymes with La Costa for here. It's kind of a nice little, yeah, there we go.
Leave it. I like it.
Okay, Miguel. Well, geez, where to start with you? You have an interesting livelihood. You've got an interesting background. I guess I should just kind of ask where you started. Where you started martial art wise?
Ooh, so the adventure began probably sometime around 1980, 81. I was 12 years old, and I think for many people, in kind of our generation, my lead into martial arts was Kung Fu Theater on television.
Aha!
You know?
I love this. You're the exact generation I am. Started same year, same age. Yeah. So that must mean we're about the same age.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of Kung Fu Theater. Obviously, Bruce Lee, massive part of that. And being raised in Santa Monica, there were a ton of kind of studios around. And somehow, I don't remember how it happened, but my father found a Hapkido studio, which at the time was on, I want to say like Wilshire and Cloverfield, or Wilshire and 26th.
Ah.
And it was Grandmaster Bong Soo Han's Hapkido studio.
You know, yeah. I remember his being on Santa Monica Boulevard. Mm-hmm. You must have moved to there when I first came around.
He moved very short, well, not too shortly, but while I was studying, they moved further up the road. And I guess you're right, it was on Santa Monica.
Yeah, for the longest time, because it was painted. In fact, I think even up till recently, it was still painted that name on the building.
Yeah. So that's where I got my start, if you will.
Did you make the Billy Jack connection with that?
I did not make that until later.
Wow.
And then I was like, wait, what? This is the guy? And, you know, in all honesty, being a 12-year-old in search of kind of kung fu adventure and high-flying kicks, Hapkido was not necessarily for me. Not that it wasn't a great school, but Master Han was incredibly strict, very, very traditional.
Mm.
So there were a lot of push-ups. There was a lot of getting whacked with a bamboo kendo sword if things weren't going right.
Now, dare I say, I'm probably going to cause a whole thunderstorm here, but dare I say, back in our day, I think the Koreans more strict than the Japanese and Okinawans.
Very, very, very true from my perspective. Again, I can't speak to everyone's experience, but yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. So I got through about 2 years. I've never really been great with authority, so that was kind of tough. but by the same kind of measure, I was looking for like cool dudes that can jump, you know, 30 feet in the air and make great noises, kung fu style moves, and yeah, that was not it.
Little did you know, the ninja craze was only a few short years away.
Right, right. So that lasted a couple years, and then I kind of got distracted by, you know, girls and music and sports.
What?
And friends and other stuff. So I dropped out of that, and it really wasn't until after college. I'd moved back to LA and was working in a bar, and after a couple of fights broke out in the bar, I was like, yeah, maybe I should look back into this whole martial arts self-defense situation.
There may be a need.
So I literally opened, and I'm going to date myself again, I opened the phone book.
Oh, and I looked what's up, that?
I looked up martial arts schools, and I do not exaggerate when I say that I went school by school based on kind of general proximity to me, and I went to every place in the book.
It's actually a very smart way of doing it.
Yeah. You know, karate schools, mm-hmm, jiu-jitsu schools, Brazilian jiu-jitsu school. Like, I went through everything. So I went by, I want to say it was one of the Gracie's first spots to check in.
Wow.
It was not really the vibe I was looking for at the time. Yeah, and it's so funny. In retrospect, I look back at all of the kind of opportunities that were presented
to me.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah,
exactly.
You know, I could have been like one of the first
early
guys,
pioneers, you know, of Brazilian jiu-jitsu in America. Yeah, exactly.
So I went there. I went to a bunch of karate places, and then I went to this place that was on the list, the Nisanzu Academy, which was at the time, I believe, still on Manchester or close to there.
Okay, Manchester and Lincoln. Yeah.
And I popped in, and I remember walking in the door and seeing like a lot of pictures and a lot of things on the wall and a lot of cool looking gear, and being like, wow, this place looks really interesting. Again, being totally ignorant of kind of like the historical context of
right,
the venue I was walking into. And I got kind of like the class schedule, and I still can't remember if it was the cost or the fact that there might have been a waiting list, but I couldn't sign up. Like, I saw the classes.
Yeah, I think
I was
there
like,
was at one time the waiting list.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, this place looks like fascinating, really cool classes, stuff I'd never heard of before. This is the spot, but I couldn't get in. And so again, another example of my ignorance at the time, I was like, hey, by any chance, do you have like any other instructors in the area that kind of teach this stuff?
Right.
And the woman behind the counter, and I think it might have been Stephen Paula actually, kind of gave me this look like, what are you joking? Like, yeah, we've got other instructors. So kind of gave me a list of other people.
Yeah.
And the one that happened to be closest to my house at the time was a studio on Lincoln and Pico run by my now continuous instructor since then, a guy by the name of Sifu Ray Copeland.
Ray Copeland. I live within a 30-second walk of that location.
Yeah.
I know that location quite well because I looked at that initially too when I came here, and it just wasn't open hours I could get to.
Yep.
So I ended up here. When I realized that this was this close, I thought Guru Dam was in way farther south.
Right. Right. So I actually I saw kind of what the schedule was, went in, and of all of the places besides the Inosanto Academy that I had walked into, he was the only instructor that paid me any attention. Like, I remember he was teaching a kickboxing class. Mm-hmm. There were probably 8 students in there. He saw me walk in the door. He said, hey, you all keep doing what you're doing. Walked over and said, how's it going? My name is Ray. And I was like, I don't care what he teaches, this is the spot.
That's Ray Copeland.
Yeah. And that started kind of that journey from that point. Started JKD, Muay Thai, and the Filipino martial arts with him there. That lasted till around 99 when I moved up to Santa Barbara. there were no schools in Santa Barbara at the time that were teaching anything even close to that. So I went through a really hard dry spell over a couple of years, and because I had a really crappy car, I didn't want to take the chance to drive
right.
down to L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just kind of winged it by myself for a few years, and then by chance...
Even at that time, it wasn't as developed. I mean, like, now it's like, yeah, I mean, your car could go on the fritz, and you're probably not far from something that could
right.
help you out, but at that time... It was a bit of open land between...
It was definitely questionable at points to want to break down. And again, like, I seem to have this luck of, like, running into instructors. So I was walking down State Street one evening, happened to look to my left, and I saw a bunch of people with sticks, like, in the gym. So I was like, whoa.
Aha.
So I kind of ran in there, and the guy who was teaching the class was a guy named Colin Silverman, who I ended up then studying some... Kali with and some Wing Chun with. He was actually a Vinsun practitioner.
Okay.
Under Edmund Bostepi.
Right, right. Out of Europe, Germany.
Yeah, so I worked with him and his little group for a bit, and I can't remember how I found the next instructor. I think it might have been through Colin. And Colin was a great, great teacher, especially when it came to like the trapping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Super great sensitivity, real solid mechanics.
Well, it's good to have that kind of follow-up, because I mean that's like one of Ray's specialties too, so
oh,
it's like
yeah oh yeah Ray
see
Ray.
Now I didn't even know this about your background, so I feel much more red in the face, shiny, proud now when you tell me my trapping's good, because you're coming from a really nice background of it.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of lucked into a lot of this, and then through Colin ran into a guy by the name of Guru Mike Reyes, who was, at the time, had a very heavy focus on Sarada. So Kabbalah Sarada, yeah. I can't remember the name of his instructor in Sarada, but that was kind of my intro to, like, short stick training.
Uh-huh.
So went through that with him. So... through Guru Mike, introduced to Sarada, which was really cool. I really enjoyed it. It was really fun to learn something kind of close, medium and close range, because I was used to working kind of longer range. And then I found out, because we started doing some JKD work, that Guru Mike had studied under Jerry Poteet. So, like, all of these stars seemed to be kind of...
lining up for you.
Well, you know, aligning. So did... some studying with him. In the course of that, Colin was a big collector of martial arts DVDs and VHSs.
Uh-huh.
And we were dating ourselves. So, you know, I'm over at his place, and he's like, hey, you know, any VHSs or DVDs you want to borrow and look at? And he had one that just said Dog Brothers on it. And I was like, what's that? So I took it home. I popped it in.
Did we talk about the old Panther?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yes.
And
classic.
I
love this.
What is this? These people are completely out of their minds. And yet, I'm intrigued. This seems very interesting. So I went to first Ray, because I was still in contact with him. And I was like, hey, have you heard about these guys? The Dog Brothers. And he kind of laughed. And
he's like, have I heard of them?
He's like, hey, yes, I've heard of them. He's like, and B, are you out of your mind? You really want to do that? And his attitude, I must say, even all these years later, has not changed. He's still like, you're completely out of your mind for doing this. And then I talked
to... We can discuss the pluses and minuses of these things with you later. But
so,
yeah.
So I talked to Guru Mike about it, and he's like, I mean, if you want to, I'm happy to like kind of train you up for it. But, it's probably not what you expect. And I was like...
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah. So fair enough.
Like
so,
kombucha, but yeah. Hitting you in the kneecap.
Right. So fast forward about a year and a half, and there was a gathering coming up, and this was 2003, 2004. I'm pretty sure it was closer to 2003. and I was like, you know what? I'm going to sign up and do it. Screw it. Like, I'm going to do this thing. And I trained pretty hard and signed up, and I showed up to Raw Gym in El Segundo, and in the first like 20 seconds of my first fight, I had this whole plan going in. Like, I'm gonna use
this
sweet Abenico entry and it's gonna work. And I just remember I pulled off the abanico and then just got cracked in the head, like hard, like really hard, to the point where Guru Crafty kind of, he stopped the fight and he's like, hey man, are you okay? And I kind of shook my head and I was like, yeah. But that's when the realization hit me, like, yeah. Oh, this is real, this is a fight,
right.
Like you are in this now. And that's how I got hooked. So, you know, we can talk about the Dog Brothers journey a bit more, but ended up doing that for basically 14 years.
Wow.
You know, retired as a full Dog Brother. Was actually just at the tribal gathering this past weekend taking pictures for them. So that kind of started my journey in full contact stick fighting.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I'd gotten a new car, so I was able to train more regularly with Ray and continue that. And another one of these random occurrences, probably around 2005, I'm in Gold's Gym in Goleta with my training partner, Lowell, at the time, big 6'5", like 230-pound Viking dude.
What is it about us big monsters that seem to attract other big monsters?
I don't know. But we're in there kind of like training some stick work, and I see someone like kind of peek their head in, you know, and like leave, and then peek their head back in, and the door opens, and this short, like stocky Filipino dude walks in, and he's like, hey, do you mind if I show you guys a few things? And my attitude in martial arts has always been like, show me all the stuff. And then I looked at the guy and I'm like, why do I recognize this man? And it turned out to be Guru Felix Valencia.
Oh,
who
nice.
Was, you know, one of Edgar Suvide's Lameco guys.
Right.
So I ended up studying with Guru Felix privates for almost 3 years. And he really is the one that kind of not only took my stick fighting to the next level, but threw me deep into the Lameco system, which to this day, I really like, that's the fighting system that I use. It's the one that makes the most sense to me, the one that I found to be most practical.
When I want to deep dive in more, because Larry Hartzell really loved it, trained in depth with Drew Edgar and David Gould, I believe.
Yeah.
I've got some pictures of them all. And I know Larry had, you know, this great fondness and respect for Edgar. In fact, that's a lot of what we did when Larry was really getting ill, and it wasn't, you know, his physical abilities were starting to diminish a bit. He's like, well, let me take you A to Z through Lameco that I remember and know. And that's what we did. And it was really, I was like, whoa, this is fun. This is nice.
Yeah, it's really great system all around. I really enjoyed the time, you know, rest in peace with Guru Felix. But in the course of all of that stuff that was going on, you know, I was coming to the academy for seminars, so I got really, really lucky. I got in on one of, I think, what was close to one of the last seminars that Guru Hartzell and Eric Paulson did together.
Mm.
That was a great, like, 3 days. Still stuff in there that I remembered and kept. I did privates with Steve Grody, which was just absolutely mind-blowing because he also had a strong Lameco background.
Right,
so,
you
know, adding that stuff, I did a lot of study with Puno Nguru, Mark Denny in Dog Brothers Martial Arts. And, you know, I found that the majority of people that I've either studied with or know tangentially are in some way, it all leads kind of back to the academy.
Right.
Which has been really fun for me. Because when I started my new gig back in LA in 2018, I finally got the chance to actually sign up and study at the academy.
For more than just seminars.
Yeah. So it's been, you know, the journey kind of brought me full circle, if you will.
Yeah.
But I've been very, very blessed to train with and be instructed by just amazing martial artists.
Yeah, you know? And that explains a lot for me, because you're one of these guys that came in and it's, I was just going to, not this guy's first dance, maybe the first time I've seen him, but not an inexperienced guy, not someone who is just picking this stuff up for the first time. So I always, that's why I always sort of stuck close to you. I'm like, there's more of a story here.
Yeah.
I'll get it eventually.
Well, you know, it's the I think the thing that's been the hardest transition for me coming to the academy was that, with the exception of Ray's kind of earlier classes, And then he went a lot more free form. Like, I hadn't been in, like, a structured, wear a uniform, belt system environment since I was, like, 12 years old.
Yeah, and even that's, I mean, so loose here. It's,
yeah.
It looks like that, but it's kind of not that. And then even, you know, I think since you've been here, Gru's got a particular presentation that he does
right.
For the most part, stays along those lines. But I can tell you from the amount of time I've been with him, which is now, what year are we, 2023? So this will be my 19th year with him. He has changed that presentation. I mean, the buffet table is the same things,
right.
But the meal he's making out of it has changed probably 7 times. And this is the one he's kind of stuck with the longest, but I'm under no delusions that he'll stick with. And I hope he doesn't. I like the change. I like when he does it. I like when he pulls, you know, things out of the attic and we go, whoa, we haven't done this. And I can tell people are thinking of certain things. Like,
right.
We haven't done this for a while. Can you show me this? Because I'm afraid he's going to ask me to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, okay, hold on. Cobwebs out of my head, even for that matter. And I was like, well, let's work on it. I mean, it's a good thought. Because, yeah, he probably will. He'll probably say, hey, you guys get up here and do this obscure Villa Barrel account or something we haven't done in many years.
Right. And I should probably, like, you know, kind of amend what I said a little bit in that, not necessarily, you know, strict in terms of presentation, but, like, I hadn't been in a place where, like, oh, there's a curriculum and a set of things that you're,
right.
you're basically
you're
doing repetition on.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast. Please click the like and subscribe buttons, as well as the notification bell. Also consider subscribing to the full-length podcast at www.patreon.com/malmag or purchasing individual full-length episodes at malmag.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Miguel Da Costa. Coming up next week, one of my oldest training partners and friends, Christopher Harley. Check out the Malmag store at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and click on the store tab. There, you will find a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Kirby Kerbong, as well as Timmy B's and Dos Manos t-shirts. Many more products coming soon. Also, click on our courses tab to purchase online courses, right now featuring a course in the Dos Manos stick of FMA. More courses to come. This show is produced by Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine. Visit us at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and enjoy the free version of our online magazine with articles, a recommended schools page, and a worldwide events calendar. Music by Jack Al Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.